Jesus could come. So Delonda's going to read the word. We're going to start in John chapter 14, 1 through 4 today. And Delonda's going to read it to you, and they'll be up here on the TV for you to follow along with. Or maybe you've got your Bibles out and you're scrolling with us. So John chapter 14, 1 through 4. Go ahead, Delonda.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be.
Amen.
And where I go, you know, and the way you know.
Amen. I fixed that volume problem. And so we're going to pray right now over this word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises right here that we hear in your word. And I pray, God, that it just sink into our hearts today. And that, Lord, that our spirit be open to what you want to do in us. Father, that you would just expand our hearts today, God, for the coming of the Lord. And that, Lord, that we would be ready on that day. That we'd not be like those five foolish virgins, but we'd be like the five virgins that were ready. So, Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, in your word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Join us as we watch a video right now.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wasn't that a powerful video? That's what it's going to be like, amen? That one day, whether we're in church or you're at home or you're with your family, you know, man, you know, the Lord just spoke to me. He said, one day somebody, people will be sitting around at home and the husband may go and or the wife may go and one will be left. You know, it talks in the Word about two working in the field, one will go, one will stay. Because one is ready, but the Lord just quickened me that, you know, that the wife may go, but the husband hasn't committed yet, and he won't go, and he's going to be freaked out. Oh. We may not be in the church building when this all happens, but the rapture is going to happen. And those who are in Christ will go to be with him to the place that he's prepared for us, amen? And, you know, and when I say us, I'm talking about those that believe in Jesus and have surrendered their life to him. That's what it's all about. Believing in Jesus. And I know that Jesus has a desire that we would all believe in him and that we'd all be committed to him. Amen. But the reality is that some will not. Some will not. Many will hear the message, but they won't believe. I pray for them all the time. I want people to know where they're going to spend eternity. And this passage starts today with let not your heart be troubled. They had just finished the Passover meal. Peter was just told that he would deny Christ three times. Peter's declaring that he's ready to die for Jesus, to fight for him. And then Jesus drops the bomb on him. You'll deny me three times. It's crazy. I watched a video this morning of that very thing about a man that was portraying Peter sitting there and talking about denying Jesus and I'll never do that, Lord. I'll never do that. And he's like, yeah, you will.
You know, it just quickened my spirit is, have you ever watched like a scary movie sometimes and you're sitting there going, oh, if that happened to me, I would do it. And and I would do this and I would do that. And then when it happens, you're like just dumbfounded. You didn't do exactly what you thought you would do. And that reminds me of when you read that passage of Peter, where you're all talk.
Yeah.
When it really comes.
You know, somewhere in my message today, it's in here, I talk about that I feel like I'm ready to go meet the Lord. I mean, I know spiritually I'm ready to go meet the Lord, and I feel that I'm physically ready to go meet the Lord. That if he said, Ron, today, I'm going, I'm good with that. But then I put in my notes, I think. Because this life is precious. It's precious to us. And people fight to hold on to it. And we think of this life as like the thing. Like, this is it. But it's not it. Jesus is coming, amen. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. You know, the book of John talks specifically about four kinds of trouble. There's four kinds of trouble that in the book of John it's talked about. In John chapter 5, verse 4 through 7, it talks about the troubled water. Jesus, when he went to that pool and the angel would stir the water, he would trouble the water is the way it's put. Trouble, he would stir up that water. And then whoever got in that water would be healed. That's the troubled water. And when I know this, that Jesus came to trouble the water for us so that we could be in him so that we can be healed, amen? Not just one man getting into the water, but I think we need to all jump into the water with Jesus.
You know, in my heart is quickened right now is when that water is troubled, it's really a step of faith. That's what it is it's faith. And when you step out in faith, that's when you get healed. That's when he's stirring the waters. It means that you're having to actually stir up your routine or your faith and step out into the unknown, into something that you don't know. And that's where your faith is quickened. And that's what, when the healing comes, is when you step out in faith.
Amen. Step out in faith today and be healed in the name of Jesus. You know, and then he talks about the other trouble. He talks about the troubled spirit in John chapter 11, 33 and chapter 13, verse 21. In 11:33, Jesus, he's so compassionate. He was troubled when he saw Mary weeping for her brother Lazarus, who had just passed away. He was troubled in his spirit when he walked upon that situation. And that's because I believe his compassion is so strong for us. And he desires to see us live and to thrive, amen? And he raised Lazarus from the dead. So he had a troubled spirit at that point. And then in chapter 13, verse 21, is when it was being said that one of the disciples would betray him at the Last Supper. He had a troubled spirit. And I don't think that it was that one of them was going to betray him was the issue of the troubled spirit. I think it was that he was going to lose one of them. See, Jesus doesn't want to lose anybody. Jesus came so that we could all have life. That was his focus, that we could all be forgiven, that we could all one day go to heaven. And so I think his spirit was troubled because he was going to lose a man that had been with him for 3.5 years, one that had sat with him, that taught with him, that broke bread with him. And he knew who it was. He knew it was Judas. He knew that Judas had managed their finances, had given to the poor, and helped them a lot. He knew that it was Judas that betrayed him, and his heart was broken, I believe, for Judas, because he knew what it was going to cost Judas to do what he did. And Jesus knows what it's costing you when you betrayed him. When you back away from him, he knows what it's costing you. And I believe it, his compassion, his troubled spirit, happens. And then it comes to the troubled soul. John 12, 27. This is just as he spoke of his upcoming death, just after he had told them what was going to happen. His prayer was, Father, save me from this hour. He had a troubled soul. His mind, his will, and emotions, they were troubled because he knew what he was going to go through. He knew about the persecution. He knew about the cross that was coming before him. He knew what was going to happen. Man, that would trouble anybody. And he's like, God, you know, I mean, even in the garden when he prayed, he said, Father, if there's another way, let's do it.
Yeah, because I've never been so troubled that I sweat great drops of blood. Have you?
No. Knowing what was coming was troubling. But the great thing about Jesus, even though it was troubling, he still went forward in it. You know, and there may be things that are troubling you right now. And I challenge you to press forward, to press forward with God. He was obedient unto death. And we've got to stay the course. He pressed on knowing that this was going to happen. Then it takes us to troubled hearts in John chapter 14, verse 1. And this was a challenge to the believers around him. And this is my challenge to you right now. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your soul be troubled. Don't let your spirit be troubled today. Amen. As we've been in these days of this pandemic, I've seen that many have let their hearts be troubled. They're in fear and confusion about what's going on. The peace that comes to me in this passage is that he'll come and get us so that we can be where he is. That's my peace. He's going to come and get us so that we can be where he is. The key here is to believe in God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. God the Father and Jesus Christ, and we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the key. And this is where I get to it. I said, for me, knowing this has taken away my fear of dying. I think. I mean, today, right here, right now, I feel like the fear of dying has left me because I know where I'm going to go. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I know I'm going to go be with Jesus. Amen. Now, I don't like to live in fear. You know me, I go and I do a lot of things that a lot of people are afraid to do. And that's just because God has called me to it, amen? And if God calls you to it, he'll bring you through it, amen? So I don't like to live in fear because it limits God on what he can do through me.
Amen.
So if I take away all the fear then and I walk in obedience, it's amazing. You know, I get to travel all over the world to share the love of God with people. Now, Delon and I don't have a bank account that's just filled with all this money to do this. But because we've responded to God and we've said yes to the Lord with it and we're not afraid, God gives us the money to go. People just come up and send the money. Somebody called me last week, texted me, said, where are you going next? I said, I'm going to go to Peru. And they said, okay, I dropped $500 in your account for your traveling expenses. Who does that but God? Who does that but God? Just, you know, wow.
You know, I don't fear in the same way, but I used to fear on the what ifs. I used to fear, what am I going to have to go through? What's going to happen? And, you know, trusting in the Lord, in his promises of, I have a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a future and a hope, I gave myself into his promises. That fear left because I know he's taking care of me. And what better person to take care of me than God? I know he's always got my back. He's always got my everything about my future, my present.
Amen.
He knows, so.
Amen. Praise God, Delon. That's a good word. Now, I want you to look down at verse 3. It says, there's four promises in verse 3. I go prepare a place for you. I will come again to receive you to himself that we may be where he is. He's preparing a place. He's coming again. He's going to receive us, and we're going to be where he is. Four promises in verse 3. Four. Everybody say four. Four promises, amen. His first coming was to do the prep work to make the dream work. That's what my friend Don Marie says. Prep work to make the dream work, amen. And that's his first coming. He prepared us for for the dream that was coming, our blessed hope, amen. The kingdom of God is the dream. He connected us back with God the Father, and now there's coming a day ahead that the place he's been preparing for us will be ready. And the Father will send him to gather in the harvest, the bride, the church, and bring us up to this wonderful place that he has prepared with us, and that's called the rapture. Amen. He is preparing us for the rapture. He's preparing heaven for you and for me, that when we can get ready, when the time is right and God says, go, he'll come and he'll bring the church up to him. Amen. Wow. Wow. Just like that little video we showed you, that little clip. It's going to happen one day. And the bride, the church, is going up with him. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm getting a little excited.
No, the thing that saddens me about that whole statement is the people that we're leaving behind. And so if you're not doing something to help that, that should be on your heart.
You could help right now by just sharing this service with people. You could help. I've already shared it. I shared it as soon as it came in. I shared it. You could touch people's lives, reaching out. Well, you know, the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's a word used to describe what the scripture is saying. It means to be snatched up or caught away. It also means this, feeling of intense pleasure or joy. Yeah. So which is the meaning of blessed in this next passage I'm going to read when it describes the blessed hope in Titus chapter 2. So turn over to Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 11 through 15, and it talks about the blessed hope of the church. So here we go, Titus 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking, verse 13, looking, everybody say looking, for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Are you zealous for good works? See, I'm looking for that blessed hope. I'm looking for his return. But, Delonda, I'm not looking in a way that I just sit and gaze at the heavens every day. That's not how I'm looking. I'm looking by actively. It's kind of like wait on the Lord, and he'll renew your strength, you know, when you wait on the Lord. But to wait on the Lord means you're active in his presence. You're actively reading the word. You're actively sharing the gospel. You're actively praying. You're actively worshiping. You're being active in the kingdom of God. Amen? And the blessed hope is for those that are in Christ and are waiting for his return. And see, waiting for his return. And we're waiting by serving. Amen? We're waiting by setting up cameras right now so we can preach around the world. We're waiting by going into the parking lot next week, by setting a stage, by allowing the cars to come and to park in the parking lot, and we're going to broadcast it live next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're waiting by doing prayer meeting on Tuesday, by a Wednesday night Bible study with Pastor Rob, by a prayer meeting on Friday night at 7 o'clock. We're waiting. We're actively waiting on the Lord for the blessed hope. Hallelujah. Gosh, blessed suggest happy. Amen. Supremely blessed. Amen. A condition in which congratulations are in order. Whoa. This blessed hope, his return. I didn't read verse 15 back there. It says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Speak these things. Speak these things. Everybody say speak.
Speak.
Speak these things. Amen. Wow. This is why when a believer passes on, there's joy at a memorial service. Amen. I remember my mom's service. It was just such a wonderful time. At my dad's service, we had 50 people make a commitment to Jesus at my dad's memorial service because they saw the joy that we had. Because I know my dad went to heaven.
Joy for them, knowing where they are. A little sad for us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Miss my mom and dad all the time. You know, the joy comes because we're waiting for him to appear. And we have this assurance in our heart that it's going to happen. It may not happen this month. It may not happen this week. It may not happen today. I'm thinking of that video we watched at the beginning.
You know, it just occurred to me is when you're waiting to go on vacation, you don't just sit there with your hands in your pocket doing nothing. You usually actually pick it up a little bit and you work a little harder for the time that you're going to miss. And yeah, you do all the things that you got to do, all the shopping to get ready for it, all the preparing. I mean, you work harder,
right?
Usually when you know you're going to go away. And that's what we should be doing, knowing, not standing around waiting for the rapture, but or waiting for knowing that you're going to go, but what are you doing to help others be able to go? And you're not just standing around with your hands in your pocket going, I'm good, but you're actually doing something towards everybody else being able to go as well. To me, sometimes we have a selfish side where it's like, well, I know I'm going to be blessed or I'm going to be good like that king. And he didn't care about everybody else.
Right.
But it's like, you got to care about everybody else if you know you're good and you got yourself right. And do it like you know you're going on a vacation. Work a little harder.
Wow. She said the king that she's talking about is King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, you know, he was sick and the Lord healed him. And Babylon sent princes over there to bring him gifts because they heard of his healing. It must have been a really miraculous healing, you know. And he showed them everything. He showed them all the riches of Israel. And the prophet came back and said, why? What did you do? He said, well, I showed them everything. And he goes, everything? And he said, because you have done this, Babylon will come and take it all and make your sons eunuchs in the king's house. And this is what Hezekiah said. He said, well, okay, just as long as it's not happening in my lifetime. And if you read about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there you go.
Because he turned his blessing into a bragging unto himself. And that's why God punished him for that. He turned that.
So, but in this season, we don't have to have a troubled spirit because he's coming. Amen? He's coming. I know the trouble for us is not knowing the exact day he's coming. But I believe if we know the exact day that he's coming, that many people would not live a righteous life every day. They'd wait till the day before to get right. This is why we need to stay ready. We need to stay ready. I was in one country, and I went to the demilitarized zone in that country, and I went all the way to the border of that country, and we were there, and the people that were taking us on the tour, they said, don't point up there. And I'm like, why? And he said, because they'll take that as an act of aggression. And I said, but I don't see anybody. He goes, yeah, but there's thousands of people watching you right now. and I'm like, wow. And you know, but the thing that I noticed when I went into London is that there were trucks after trucks after trucks with soldiers sitting on them. They had their guns between their legs, just holding their guns. They were sitting there ready for either an attack or to defend. Right. They were ready. It left you with the feeling that when something happens, not if. It's when, not if.
Right.
And you know, and I've been to a few countries like that. Yeah. Many, many guards around me when I'm preaching because it's like they know something's going to happen. It may not be that day or that moment, but there's that anticipation that something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it may not be today or tomorrow, But something is going to happen. It's the same way I think and I feel about the rapture of the church. It's not a question of if, but when. When? I have a few more scriptures this morning to confirm the plan of God for the rapture. Philippians, turn over to Philippians chapter 3 with us. Chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. As we go through this, it says, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. You're not a citizen of the United States of America. You're a citizen of heaven today, amen? From which we also eagerly await for the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Amen? Our citizenship is heaven, and one day he's coming and we're going to be transformed into glorious bodies. Amen? We're no longer citizens of earth. We are citizens of heaven still living here on earth. It's just like in America today, there's many immigrants, and America we're a nation of immigrants. The only true Americans are the American Indians. They're the ones that lived here, that started here. But everybody else came, as an immigrant. And we still have immigrants coming to America. I know so many Chinese people. I know so many Arabic people. I know so many Spanish people. I know all these people that have come, amen? And Samoan people, because we have all those congregations here at the Hope Center. Hallelujah. And but they're still citizens of other places until, you know, like Pastor Otto became a citizen of the United States of America. And when he became a citizen of the U.S., he had to deny his citizenship to Guatemala. See, we have to deny our citizenship to this world and be that citizen of heaven here on earth. Amen? That's what God is calling us to. So we're eagerly waiting for Jesus to come. When he comes, we know we're going to be transformed. Amen? We know. We also know that Jesus has all authority to do this. And it will happen when the Father says it's time. Because in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me by my Father in heaven. Amen? Amen? But he just doesn't know the date yet. And our responsibility is to be ready and to tell as many people as we can about it. And tell them about the love that Jesus has for them. Amen? Because this next verse says it all. Revelation 22:20. I'm coming quickly is the title. And it says, he who testifies to this thing, these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Remind me of that word the Lord gave me. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. Knock, knock. Here I come. Here I come. He's coming quickly. Not in our time frame, maybe. When he comes, we'll be caught up, raptured. And he'll receive us, and we'll live where he lives. Then we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And it'll be wonderful. Let's go back to Titus. We read it, verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. When I came to Jesus, that desire was birthed in me. I wanted to change. The desire to leave my old way of living behind was so strong in me. But it was by the grace of God I was able to leave those things behind. See, when I came to Jesus, I asked him, take away my smoking, my drinking, my foul mouth. And he did that day. Never done them again. But I wish I would have asked, Lord, heal my marriage today. But that was something, God healed our marriage. But we had to walk it out. We had to work at it, amen? And so that was by us growing in Christ and that strong desire to have a good marriage, amen? So not in our own strength, though. Jesus empowered us. He filled us with his strength. And there are many things that we have to walk through and walk out, that we're working out our salvation daily, as the word declares. But there is a starting point. And that point is Jesus. Receiving Jesus. Receiving his love into your heart and what he has done for you. He died to pay the price for all your sin, for all your pain, for all your sickness. And I want us to just, we're going to go back to worship here in a moment. And I want you, and Delonda and I will come back after the worship, but while we're worshiping, I want you to just take time. If you need to confess some things to the Lord right now, that you ask him to forgive you, and that you come into that right standing and begin with a clean slate today. Let's worship the Lord right now.
I'll give you glory. I'll give you glory for all you've brought me through. And now I'm ready to whatever you wanna do. I'm moving forward to follow after you. And now I'm ready for whatever you wanna do.
Sing your presence.
Your presence is an open door. Has been enough, and I'm believing the best is yet to come. The cross before me, my hope on things above,
and in
you, Jesus, the best is yet to come.
Sing your presence,
your presence. It's an open door. We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. Oh. And your presence is an open door.
come now, Lord, like never before.
Well, welcome back. Wouldn't that worship? His presence is incredible. And we thank God for his presence today. I want to pray for you today and just close out with you this morning. We just thank you for joining us. But dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise today. We thank you, Father, for, Lord, your word. And my hope today is that, Lord, that people are taking you in. That, Lord, that there's a resurrection happening in people's lives today, God. That, Lord, the supernatural power of God is coming to every home today, and that people are making that commitment to go all in with you, Jesus. That the blessed hope of your second coming, of the rapture of your church would be alive inside of each one of us, God. That we'd not be living in fear, God. But, Lord, we'd be living in power, love, and a sound mind. And, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts in these days ahead to tell other people about Jesus. Lord, to let it go out like never before. Lord Jesus, we love you. I pray that you bless everybody listening to this today, that you bless them financially, Father God, that God of more than enough would rain down on them. I pray that you heal them today. Let the healing power of God flow right now. We thank you for touching Mike Rodriguez. He texted in that he's got no pain in his back for the first time in 30 years. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, the testimonies of your people, how should we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So get your testimonies in order and share them with people so that they can know Jesus. Amen. That's what we want. So, Father, we love you. I pray that healing continue through homes. That, Lord, that pain would leave people's bodies right now. I pray, Father God, that your protection would be upon them, that no weapon formed against them would prosper. No COVID virus, that this thing stop. In the name of Jesus. It'd be cut off from the earth in the name of Jesus. I pray that because I believe, God. I believe you can cut it off. And we beg you, God, today, cut it off from the face of the earth, Father, in the name of Jesus, so that things can open back up, God, that we don't have to meet in a parking lot. We can meet in this building that you've blessed us with, Father. Lord, we glorify you and exalt you, Father. And Lord, I thank you for these people of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now remember, next Sunday we're going to be out in the parking lot. We'll still be live casting if you don't want to come down. I get it. But we just want to see your faces. But you won't be able to get out of your car, okay? You'll have to stay in your car, and we'll still be live casting. Hopefully we're going to be broadcasting on your car radio, but it'll still be on your phone. And so make sure that you take time to share it.
But there's nothing that says I can't blow you kisses.
Oh, hallelujah. She makes me laugh. Oh, praise God. We just are so glad that you're with us today. And hold on to God. Hold on to God. And I pray a covering over every one of you today in the name of Jesus. And that God's joy, that joy of that blessed hope would be in your spirit today. God bless you. And we'll see you Tuesday night at our prayer meeting.